From NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered's Plus One podcast. I'm Robin Hilton. This week, NPR Music contributor Timotep Aku has a conversation with singer and rapper Anderson .Paak and producer Knowledge. Together, they form the duo known as No Worries.
I was young, but I was keen to survive on my own. In the fall, got a gig with my brother-in-law, shopping work, bagging groceries, pushing in carts. I was grateful to be working, but say, my back is hurting. I don't think it's the purpose, no, this can't be the call. At night, I'm working great, just counting the time. On my break, I write a song about the love of my life. This ain't right.
The music of No Worries is a mix of soul and raw sample-based hip-hop, with Anderson .Paak on vocals and Knowledge providing the loops and sampling. They recently released their debut album called Yes, Lord. The two talk here with Tim about their upbringing in the church, the songs that have inspired them over the years, and their love of each other's work. The first voice you're going to hear in this interview is Knowledge, who talks a little bit about how he first discovered and fell for Anderson .Paak's music.
On my days off, which is very rare, I like to scour the internet for new talent. One of these days, I was on the net and this random video. What was it? No, it was Play Your Part.
Oh,
it was
PYP.
This fool playing Play Your Part on a roof with acoustic version. And I had just figured out my way of remixing videos, so I gave it a little kick and a snare.
Yep. That song was off of Out of Body Experience, my first tape. So that was like 2012. And he did the remix or whatever, but I found it way later. And I remember when I was working on the album during that time, I was working with this producer, Duke Westlake, and we was at the studio and he was like, you never heard this dude named Knowledge? And I was like, nah. And he proceeded to play all these YouTube videos, like back to back to back, all these different beats and songs. And I was like, so what? Like, is he signed? Like, what's the deal? Like, and he just said, he just puts out music, like puts it out like at a phenomenal pace. And he's got all these tapes. And the next day I downloaded all this stuff. It's crazy. Cause like, it was literally a few days after that you hit me up like, yo. And I was like, whoa, this shit was nuts. Like, cause I was already listening to it every day. So I was trying to figure out how I was going to be able to get to him to make work on some stuff. And it just happened. And
what was it about his style that stood out to you, Anderson?
I just love the simplicity, the space, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like very daring to me, like that he could do these loops that were so minimal and that he was cool with that. And it's very hard to find a loop or something that you can hear over and over and it doesn't get old and it's still infectious and it's still soulful and makes you feel something. And that's exactly what he had in his music. And that's what I loved about it. So I could just ride around the car all day and just play all his music, just, you know, in a loop, and everything just was cohesive. Nothing was just, you know, jarring or anything. And I wanted that. And I liked that it had a lot of space. So it was like, okay, for an artist, it's like easy to write to, you know. I was coming out of working with musicians and producing my own stuff. And it's kind of more intricate and more different parts. And then when I was hearing his stuff, it just put me in his zone. And it was really easy to write to. And even when we write now, we could work very fast because his production just enables me to like really just write really quick, and it's just natural.
To the record, I definitely get the vibe that you are inspired by a lot of stuff he did. And I wondered, when I heard some of the harmonies, that's all you, right? Like, literally the only other voice you hear in that record in terms of, you know, not a sample, is just you, Anderson, right?
Well, we worked with some talented singers. We worked with Ann One, who I worked with on a lot of my albums. She was a female singer. She's on like Scared Money. She put some textures on.
Okay.
Maybe a couple other ones. Jesse Boykins did some stuff on Best One.
Nigga, I did some stuff on Best
you,
One.
You man. Did the main, yeah, he does like that main vocal thing on Best One. That like
that's you underwater. Knowledge. You, this is the talent welcome. I did not you're know welcome. You had.
No, we got some textures on there, bro.
Okay.
Just wait till the booklet drops.
Wait till we drop the booklet.
The pamphlet. Yeah, nah, I mean, but yeah, a lot of the harmony, most of it is your boy.
Now, I think, I feel like
respect.
The palettes that that Knowledge gives you, the beats that he gives you, they just lend themselves to like really, you could say they're simple, but they're kind of deceivingly intricate, but they lend themselves to writing. So is it really super easy to write this stuff?
Yeah, ultra simple. I mean, the only hard part is just like, Glenn is very particular, you know, so it's like 80%. It might be trash, you know, so you just got to dig for that shit that we both like, you know?
Now, Knowledge, I know you're a great collector and fan of music. You even discovered Anderson by scouring the internet, like you said, looking for music. What was it about his approach to writing, singing, rapping that stood out to you, that made you say, oh, I want to remix this guy's joint, I want to do something with him?
To be long story short with you, it was just as raw. It's just as raw as my shit is, the way I like, you know, the mm-hmm. way shit gets compiled when I get to it. So it was simple. It was easy.
I think one of the things that definitely...
No sweat, no worries.
Where did the name of the group, collective name, come from?
Years of sweat and tears.
Brainstorming. No, it took like a few hours.
Back and forth.
A few texts, that was it.
Man, we had some other fire names too.
Yeah.
We had a couple.
We got some AKAs. Don't even trip.
Give me a, what's an AKA for
say no more.
Say no more. AKA, like a barber, no like a really good barber would say to you.
Say
you
know no more.
I mean? Like a real good Philly barber. You know what I'm talking about.
So what I did want to talk about with you guys and what I want to do that's special for this episode of All Songs Considered is that we delve into songs that are influential to the artists, whether it be their entry point into hip-hop, whether it be a song that inspired them to do what they do in terms of making beats, writing rhymes, whatever. We just want to talk about those songs. I'm going to play a joint, and then I want you guys specifically to talk about one of those songs. I think one of the suggestions we got was a song by Prodigy of Mobb Deep called Can't Complain, and that was your pick, yep. Knowledge, right?
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about that song before we play it, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it after we play it. So tell me about that song and where you were when you first heard it and how it affected you.
Can't Complain. It was an immaculate rap song at the time. Great use of the sample. Great verse by Prodigy. It's actually featuring Twin. I should have said that as well.
Twin Gambino.
Twin's
yep.
on the second verse. Twin Gambino, my man's. That was my neighbor for a while. Actually, like after the fact, obviously.
Like in LA?
Very after the fact. In LA, yeah.
Ha. How old were you when that song came out? Like, where were you? Were a high school kid or what?
Pretty sure I was like 12. 12 or like 13. It's 2000.
All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to play this song, and I want to talk a little bit more about it once we come out of it, all right? Let's do it.
Yep, do it.
Open my wings to a new day, spread my lungs, get laced, jump in the whip, stash the guns, twist the key, shifted the deed and flee before anything, get the daily dose of choke, we got the benzo, flooded with smoke, on the float, my eyes burning from the dope, killing my throat, lean my seat back a taste, lumbar support, on the belt, doing 90 or more, debating on the latest rhyme wars, we units don't count, but your rap pays add up to large amounts, get my thrills, putting other niggas' scales to sleep, catch chills off of infamous beats, swing the trees, doing one hand Yui's, blowing on the ooey, cause we can't have the medicine canoeing. They go the boys to the right, no days and nights like that. Ayo, Thun, hold that down, they turn it around. Dirty as fuck, thugs, drugs, and guns, D's and fatigues. TNT hopping out of MPVs, surprise all the fuck out of me. Got rubber Glocks pointed at me. Ayo, Twin,
they
what
had
the fuck?
Laid out on the ground, holding us down. With gas too, back our heads was going down. It wasn't us that held up that bitch you got. With the proof, man,
Let me speak to my attorney. I know the routine, don't try to throw me. I've been getting knocked since 12 and my mom tried to scold me. But all I told me, they getting more shit in your pee.
What up?
You my Cody, we both get knocked. What you did with the half a tree?
Right in my sock.
Y'all hope these fucking dicks won't find a stash box. Then you know I get down. Y'all, I'm ready to bounce. Do the 100-yard dash and tear ass. If my other half was alive, he would've got killed. Cause done would've went for their guns that got ill. Plus I got cracks on me. They found the cracks on me. Looked at them and gave them back to me. I could've swore they was taking us in. Then the lady in the car said that's not them. Picked us up. Told me I could keep the drugs. They didn't give a fuck. They was only looking for guns. And you don't gotta tell us twice. We hopped in the car and slid off. On our way uptown for more of that funk. P lit the tree back up. Got off the Triborough, hit the Henry Hutz. Fuck it, let's slide through the ruckus. Roll the windows down, cause if it miss more bumpers.
Skipped to my loo, had the crowd jumping. Took a walk through the park front and didn't even have to hurt nothing. Man, I love it. Ain't nothing like summer in New York. Hit infamous stores, then the Dream Team music store. Damn, we young black entrepreneurs. New York bricks and dicks can't stop our flaws. We like organized crime, the fucking mob. I'm only 26 playing with serious cars. Dead, serious cash, luxurious labs. Learn to balance pain with fame, we can't complain.
Just another day living in the hood. Just another day around the way. Feeling good today. Oh no, we can't complain. Just another day living in New York. Dealing with the jakes and the snakes. Feeling good today. We hear the rap, but we here to stay.
And of course, that was Prodigy's Can't Complain,
yeah,
featuring Twin Gambino of Mobb Deep, Infamous Mobb. And that is
featuring the Shorty on the hook.
Oh,
just another
that
day.
Was wait, wait. Right. That was Chinky on the hook, dog.
Was it?
Yeah, I'm who? Pretty sure that's Chinky. There's a singer from the Mobb Deep camp, a young lady named Chinky.
Wow.
Shout out to Chinky, man.
Yeah.
He molded my whole childhood.
Can we talk about Mobb Deep's influence on your childhood and that particular song at you at 12 years old in what, Jersey, hearing that song?
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about when you first heard that song, how you got your hands on the cassette or CD, and what it meant
well,
to you.
I had to be in church or I was in wrestling practice or something. I had no time for music at first. So I had to record everything. I had to leave it recording and then come back to it. So
in terms of what, like the radio?
I'd have to leave the radio recording with like cassettes. Mm-hmm. The long ass cassettes go. And I'd have like a good side and if I can come back. You know?
A full side.
Like hope it wasn't all commercials type thing.
Right.
I didn't have internet, so that's all I had for rap. I mean, plus I lived in a religious house, so it wasn't rap wasn't just rapping around the house and shit.
So this was something you kind of had to do in the sneak tip, be exposed to secular
music. I wasn't sneaky about it at all.
Okay.
Definitely wasn't. I've never been like, you know, plus it's music, like, you mean? Mm-hmm. Like what?
What was it about Can't Complain specifically that spoke to you as a song?
Probably just that loop, to be honest. It was a good loop.
I think something that you and Anderson have in common is growing up in the church. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much.
How did that influence? I mean, you know, you listen to Yes Lord, you listen to the record, and it's definitely secular music.
Exactly.
And it's definitely explicit music. Tell me how growing up in the church influenced you guys' music, the stuff you create, and even your attitudes towards creating music.
What is life besides like doing the things that you're not supposed to do? We're only here for a moment, so why not say what you feel and mm-hmm. what you've been through?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in church they call it like a testimony, you know, sit, you get up there.
Well, explain that concept of the testimony for those who may not know.
It's like you go and you tell your story, you know, and it,
you usually tell them how your week's been.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like
you
currently.
You tell them what you did usually.
Like
you tell them the good things.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? what we did here, we told you good things.
Yeah, the best of times, you know. But it's definitely like, oh man, you know,
it's like a revelation.
Yeah. And it's like, so the music has been, you know, it's like, it's been years, some of these tunes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just stuck with you, you know, just so, you know, we had time and just what we was going through and then different things. And so
I think one of the things I get from a lot of your music, Anderson, is a lot of narrative, a lot of personal history. And even, I mean, in the case of certain songs, like you do some like Milk and Honey, right? It's like, you know, fictional. I think storytelling is really, really important to you. Would you say that's the same?
Yeah. I like storytelling, and I love rap tunes with story. Even that tune, the Prodigy joint, I love the storytelling aspect of it when they talk about going from the, it's summertime in New York, and they're enjoying the Rucker game, and then they went here, and then they got, like, that day in that song is crazy. Like, they get busted for guns, and then it cuts back to Prodigy, and he's like, well, we was at the game, and mixed with just that loop. Like, I love that aspect of hip-hop and songwriting. Like,
yeah, that's my shit. I love stories.
Yep.
I love a good story.
Because I feel like it makes it relatable to everybody. Like, everybody can, even if you're not a part of, if you never sold drugs or killed anyone or anything, if you're like even so far removed from that, you could still relate to like the art of the storytelling.
Which is the perfect intro for the song that you picked as an influential song. I'm going to play it right now. I think anybody listening who is into popular music should know this. And if not, we'll just tell you what the name is after. But let's do this real quick.
Somebody hit me the other day for a rendezvous. Was it the bitch that fucked the good and the dungeon crew? Let's say her name was Susie Screw, cause she screwed a lot. Making a nigga hit that chunk at legitimate spots. Not no parks, back seats, and things of that nature. Had to hate your player. I'm digging a hoe down, never said I hate her. Straight later, slayed the bitch like Darth Vader. Made her from Collie Park and Fed all the way down to Decatur. Like Jada, her whip was sharp and sporty, that was shawty. Save with the snake on eggs and a Beamer 840. It's foggy. I went to the crib to call her, but she lost me. My baby mama beat me, 7 o'clock is gonna cost me. But I still wanna cut her though, maybe she had to work. I called her in the mall, wearing a real tight skirt. She was fine as fuck, I wanted to sex the hoe up. She said, let's hit the parking lot so I can sick your duck. I say, cool, I really wanted to cut you, but this will do. I gotta pick up my daughter, plus my baby mama beat me too. She said she understood and everything was kosher. I gave her a little Will CD and a fucking poster. It's like that now.
It's like that now. You better go and get the hoe up out your bag now. It's about 4-5 cats off in my leg now. We just shoot game in the form of story raps now. It's like that now.
The Art of Storytelling Part 1 by Outkast. Andre 3000 and Big Boy. Tell me a little bit about why you selected that, Anderson.
Just a little.
Tell him.
You know, just a little. The Art of Storytelling is dope. I like how they had the old with the new too, you know. I love that. I love that loop or whatever, the production on that. Same idea too, just infectious. I love how they are playing off each other. The two different approaches and the two perspectives, you know. How Andre's story, his you know, interest is different from Big Boy's.
Yeah,
Big Boy. And even how they talk about them, you know.
Agreed. Yeah, I feel good. Like Big Boy's basically just trying to have some fun, and Andre's giving us a little bit of a...
Yeah, he really fell in love, you know.
Poignant life lesson.
a sad tale of Sasha Thumper.
Anderson, when you first heard that, were you in school when you were a young person?
Yeah.
What were you into at the time when this came out, and why did this grab your attention like that?
was I into?
Yeah,
same
like
thing.
Kind of
I was into girls, I guess. I was going to church, though. I was in like youth service and stuff. Like, I was playing drums at church, I think.
Were you making your own music at that time?
I think I'm like 11 years old when this came out.
Yeah, you got to be like 99.
And
yeah.
I was playing drums. And, I was writing and stuff, but I was just getting into playing drums. So it was like church time. I just started playing at church.
So Knowledge said when we listened to the Prodigy song that, you know, he didn't have to sneak around and hear stuff like that, even though he was a church kid. Now, what was your exposure to secular music like when you were, you know, in youth ministry and in the church and stuff?
Well, I grew up with secular music first. So I grew up with soul and, like, you know, like the my mom was into, like, Earth, Wind & Fire and Curtis Mayfield. And there was no real gospel music going on in the house growing up.
Okay.
Because my mom's dad was, my grandfather's a pastor. And she grew up in the church. And when we were growing up, she was pretty much just about working. And she was playing just her music that she was into, you know. So she played a lot of, like, funk and even like Freddie Jackson and different stuff. When I got into church, I got into church when I was like 11 or 12, and I wanted to play drums. And I started, my god sister took me to the church, and she was like, if you want to learn how to play drums, you should come to church because the band is crazy. Mm-hmm. And I went in, and then I saw the band, and they were just going in. And that's when I got introduced to gospel music. They were playing like Hezekiah Walker and Kirk Franklin and stuff. And it was like one of the few black churches in my area. This is in Wainimi, so this is where the base is in Oxnard. So this is where you actually get a lot of people that come from the South and all over the part of the country that are coming in from the military and living on that base and living in Wainimi. So this is where you probably get the most black people, like in Oxnard, you know, around this area, I think. And so I was playing at this little church called Evangelistic, and that's when I got introduced to gospel stuff. And so I got so turned out and so into the church thing that I was like, I was probably like 10 or 11, and I was listening to Snoop and like all these different things. And then when I got into playing in church, I personally was like, man, fuck everything else. I'm going to just listen to gospel. I remember throwing away all my other shit, like throwing away my CDs, literally. Like, I had like The Dogfather and like, you know, different shit, West Side Connection and stuff. And I was like, I only listen to gospel now. I want to learn all this shit.
See, so what's interesting to me is that you ended up gravitating back to the secular music. What was it that brought you back to secular music?
That was just growing up, you know, as I got older, you know. I grew up playing, I played to like, I was like, I mean, up until a couple of years ago, I used to play at the church, but, you know, when I got older, I kind of just ventured off, you know. I went back to soul and different things, and then I got into, you know, a lot of different music, and I just was living life.
Life.
Yeah, life happened, you know.
Life happened. I like that. You know, you chose a current song, asked for a current song that you thought was really, really dope that you were interested in talking about, and you selected Them Changes, which is a song by Thundercat featuring Flying Lotus, and Kamasi Washington, and that is a song about life and them changes. So that was Them Changes, Thundercat featuring Fly Low and Kamasi Washington, a song selected by Anderson .Paak and backed up by Knowledge. Anderson, you want to talk a little bit about that song?
I've just been a huge fan for years, and I look, you know, when you first hear it, you hear the sample, that famous Isley Brothers loop, so you're just kind of like...
Shout out to Steven.
You know?
Great job.
It's kind of daring to use that, you know, but they made another classic joint over that classic loop and back on this loop shit, you know? It's amazing.
It's my favorite.
Infinite loops.
I want to talk about the new record a little bit. Tell me about the approach to this record content-wise, because there's a lot of ways you could have went, but I will say I agree it's a very, very soulful record. Tell me about the approach to production and the approach to writing on it.
This is my first time working with just one producer, top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just...
So it's lit.
It's really lit, man. Like, you know, when you think about in hip-hop, you know, it's an important thing, and it's hard to do, come by. So that was one thing that really brings out a different zone in me on this album, so...
Tell me about your frame of mind in like, writing a lot of songs, like a Suede and stuff like that.
I think it was just, like, a lot of it was from the production, man.
Mm.
You got to think, like, a lot of the music that we did, I hadn't even met Knowledge, you know? It was, like, we did a bulk of this album before we even were in the same room. That was the just perspective that I wanted to write from on this album. And once we agreed that it was going to be a group, I got even more into that concept, you know? I was like, this can be...
This is how it went. Nasty loop, nasty verse, nasty hook.
Exactly.
More nasty verse, next nasty song.
Exactly. You know? That was the formula, if anything.
It's nasty.
I know, man. It's difficult for artists all the time to pick their personal favorites on records, but I want to ask each of you, what embodies the nastiness of Yes Lord the most to each of you? Which songs do you feel like, man, this is my gem on this album? This is the one that this is exactly us doing exactly what we were trying to do and getting it, nailing it, hitting it exactly right.
I mean, recently, I think Side Piece is crazy.
I was about to rock that.
Yeah. I think that's just like a good, if you look at it from every perspective of the writing, the song, the production, the performance, that's my shit, you know, where like everything comes together on that one.
It's hard for me to keep the promise ring when I head out on tour. One won't do and two is not enough for me, no. But if you give me time, I can clear the line. Wait for me patiently, babe, you know hey, I'll be faithful.
I want you. Give up my side piece just to make room. I just want you. So I'll give up my side piece and make it come true. Whose love is this anyway? Say, is it mine for the take? And don't lie, I can try hard. These days my friends and foes are tricking off on fancy anniversary vacays. Is it my time?
My time.
Or am I too late?
Too late, no saving.
But since you held me down, it's best I say the vow. Sad piece just to make room. I just want you. So I'll give up my sad piece and make it come true. And make it come true, babe. Make it come true.
Baby,
I want you. Lend me your ear, I swear.
chance to never break your heart if I don't have to do it. Give me your hand, I swear to never put another one over you. Lend me your ear, I swear to never break your heart if I don't have to do it. If I don't have to, I'ma do what I have to do is for you and make it come true. I'll make it come true for you, baby, baby. It's my time.
What was that end part that comes in?
I had the this little vocoder thing, and man, Mind Design.
Shouts to Ringo.
Yeah, it was up there jamming on that thing.
Okay,
but he,
okay.
You pitched it. It, you like, yeah, that,
yeah,
shit.
It's a little low.
That shit is crazy.
So I want to know from knowledge, what's your song that you think is the embodiment of No Worries, of Yes Lord, like the pinnacle for you on this album?
Oh, like my favorite one? Are you trying to say?
Yeah, say that.
All right, man. Let's get one thing straight. We don't do favorites. We got too much. It's too cool. Much. We put. We got joints that's not even on here. That's probably my favorites. But since we're being literal, and I guess I have to answer this question and be rational, just do best one, because what does the title say?
Wow.
What does it say?
Wow.
Tell me what it says.
The setup. What does it say?
Just run it, bro. Just run it.
Here we go.
Moments notice. You're telling me to stay into the morning. You know a nigga homeless. You give me everything inside the showroom. Your old school trophies. You used to work the small forward. Now you're working corporate, dipping in the sports whip. I hope I never have to cut you off. My best one by far. I look best. My heart is a great big boulder. Hey, you fuck me like you know this could be something like your very last moment. I can leave it at the drop of a fedora, but damn it, girl, I want you. I hope I never have to cut you off. My best one, by far.
Man, this is the only album I've ever done where I actually listen to it. Like, after it's out, I'm listening to it now.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's so good. All the transitions and shit, it's like, it's just a vibe.
All right, Anderson, peace. Thank you, Nick and Jake and Duncan, thank you as well. I'll hit you guys on the jack after this, all right?
Peace.
Peace.
That's NPR music contributor Timotep Aku talking with Anderson .Paak and Knowledge about their collaboration as No Worries. Their new album, out now, is called Yes Lord. For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered. I'm Robin Hilton.
Just
shit. Cause you a hoe. Knew you was a hoe before you moved up here. Well, I should have never let you get